Matrick Dressed to Suppress auf Flux FM, abgespielt in der Morning Show am Nachmittag. Es ist 15 Uhr und gleich 17 Minuten. Heute Abend spielt die Band mit Emily Haynes am Mikrofon im Kesselhaus, um das neue 7. Album Art of Doubt nochmal live zu präsentieren. Bereits jetzt sind 2 Menschen aus der Band bei mir im Studio, und zwar Emily und Josh, der Bassist. Wir quatschen ein bisschen über 20 Jahre im Business und schwarze Zahlen seit 2008 erst. Wir finden heraus, wie wichtig Emilys Soloausflüge und bisher unveröffentlichte Aufnahmen für die Rückbesinnung auf die ursprüngliche Soundphilosophie der Band Matrick waren. Wir reden über die Kunst des Zweifelns, natürlich wegen des Albumtitels, über die Wiederentdeckung der Gitarre und die Arbeit des Jimmy Shaw, das eigene Label und vieles, vieles, vieles mehr. Zunächst aber nochmal hello and welcome to Flux FM.
Guten Morgen.
Wow. Guten Morgen. That's the exact right thing to say, because this show is called The Morning Show in the Afternoon.
Perfect. I'm ready.
You've done it already. I mean, we can stop right here.
We're Thank you, everybody.
It's been
See
a perfect
tonight.
Interview.
See you tonight, everybody.
Thank you for coming. How are you doing today?
Really well, yeah. Really happy to roll into such a beautiful, sunny autumn day in Berlin.
Yeah, it's a seldomly seen thing.
Yes.
I mean, this combination of colder temperatures and a blue sky doesn't happen enough.
Mm.
Yeah. We've saved it for you, you know? So, where are you coming from today? Do you play the show yesterday? No.
Yes, we were in Hamburg yesterday.
Oh, cool, yeah. Cool. That was good?
Yeah, it was great.
Yeah, first of our German shows.
Yeah, we're just, how many shows in? So we did Moscow, Stockholm, Copenhagen.
Yeah.
And Hamburg. Hamburg and now Berlin.
Wow.
Magic number 5.
Sounds good to me. Well, congratulations on album number 7. Talking about gig number 5 and album number 7.
Thank you.
Art of Doubt is an album that pleases some of the old school fans in a very special way, because they've missed the guitar a bit on the last record and stuff. And you kind of decided to take Jimmy away from the console again. He wasn't allowed to produce the album, or he didn't want to. I don't even know. But it was the most important step, I guess, for the sound of the record, or one of the important steps.
Well, he would absolutely, if he wanted to, we would be happy to have him do it again. But actually, it was his idea to be able to step back so he could actually be the guitar player we needed him to be. Mm. His brain could handle doing both, but I think it's a lot more fun when he gets to just sit there and be with the band. The four of us played a lot together. A lot of this was recorded live together, the four of us performing. And you need to have him be able to be the guitar player he is.
There's like one hand missing if you want to produce and record
absolutely.
As a live band.
Yeah.
Totally.
I mean,
if you add it up layer for layer, you can do it like that. But
yeah.
I think
yeah.
it's great.
Well, and he's the one who also didn't want guitars on the last record.
Yeah.
So
okay.
it's, you know, we're all beholden to Jimmy's brain. I'm so happy to hear his guitar again.
Yeah.
And
I think you should
it.
Be happy. And I think he can be happy, because, I mean, as soon as you know how to produce, I think you look at other producers differently and you're like, I don't know if I would juice up the snare drum like that.
Yeah. We were very lucky as well with Justin Melvin Johnson. He was amazing.
I mean, he's one of the greatest
Absolutely.
Producers
Absolutely.
Of the last decade or so.
Agreed. Well, and I think it's also because he's a musician through and through, and his first instrument is bass. So for Josh, like, I know I was standing right next to you. It was such a great experience for him, too, making this record of being with someone who really understands the instrument and digs in with you, you know?
Yeah, and maybe that's a parallel to the work that Jimmy's done for you, because there's producers who only work into the perfect sound direction, you know?
Yeah.
Or some of them are really good psychologists who keep the band together, although
totally.
They hate each other
that's
already.
Right, that's right.
But you guys have always worked with a producer who's into the music and who might be able to detect a wrong chord as well, you know?
Absolutely.
Not only a wrong sound.
Absolutely.
Yeah, participate in it, yeah.
And that seems to work for you guys. So you're going to maybe do one again with Justin Melville Johnson, who's a really great producer. Another thing that I think might have been important for this new record is something that I just found out today, and that's this recording session that you've done in between those two albums where you went into like an experimental phase and then worked with orchestras.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
And,
yeah.
and stuff. And I was like, wow, they did that in between those two albums just to do it, or to find out that it's not the stuff that you wanted to put out. So what about those songs was kind of like, not wrong, but you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
What about those songs made you rethink the whole thing and re-record everything?
Well, I don't think it was anything wrong with the songs at all. Some of the songs even made it through, but it was the process of, I think what we were going to do first, have like an acoustic and a rock. We were going to put out like a double record.
The idea was we were going to do a companion album to Pagans, because Pagans is very synth heavy, and then we were going to do a completely organic companion album, which was a really amazing process. And that's where we got into like a New Orleans funereal brass band.
No.
And like we also did a 60-piece orchestra.
I listen to that right now.
I think that music will have a place in the world. It's because we also, you know, we've scored films for Cronenberg. We've worked on all kinds of different projects. And I think the attitude is with the band is we don't really know what we're going to get when we go in. We just follow what the music feels like it's asking for. And then if it's not right, we just move on.
Yeah. And maybe it's not that the songs weren't right or the recording wasn't right. It just didn't feel like the next thing to put out next. It wasn't the music to put out next.
That's true.
But I think it's interesting that working on something completely different can make you remember your old school sound philosophy.
Absolutely.
You'll be like, oh, combining synths and heavy guitars wasn't a bad idea at all. Why not do it again? You know what I'm saying?
Totally. 100%.
That's richtig.
After having worked with the funeral orchestra from New Orleans. Yeah. But I have to listen to that song once in my lifetime because I love those funeral. I mean, I want to probably go and die in New Orleans just to hear it. Just to have that band following my coffin.
Yeah.
Now let's listen to another song of your new record. It's basically the title track that has been written in Berlin, I found out today.
Yeah.
And there is a super slow demo version of it.
Oh.
Yeah. When I first recorded it, I do kind of like very rudimentary pre-production of my songs before I present them to the band. So this one I had, you know, an orchestration in a way, an arrangement in a way in place. But it sounded like something from Massive Attack, Blue Lines. Like it was the slowest song. It was like, where do failed imposters go? Burn the book. Like so slow. And it was all like inspired by the blossoms by Gurlitzer Park, the cherry trees, springtime, the vespers chime, blossoms fill the trees that line the high road. But then, you know, I came back to Canada to the studio and we were working on it as a band, you know, and I was like, this is too slow. I think let's speed it up a little bit. Let's speed up a little bit. And it's now gone down as the legendary, you know, we've never sped up a song as much. It's like 100 BPM.
It's over 100 BPM faster. It was an amazing thing to sit and witness and be part of playing.
And it was totally, I was like, nope, a little, okay, push it.
I just started tapping it out faster.
Yeah, for sure. And then it was almost like as though it was started a solid and became a liquid and then a vapor. Like it changed forms. So I'm happy with the final result.
Yeah, let's listen to it. Here's a metric of Flux FM mit Art of Doubt in der längeren und vor allen Dingen schnelleren Version. It's the fast version. Metric auf Flux FM mit Art of Doubt, ein starker Albumtitel, über den man ja vielleicht dann doch auch nochmal sprechen kann. Über Bandnamen zu sprechen ist ja bei Flux FM verboten, über Albumtitel aber kann man nochmal sprechen. I do love the album title. We've talked about the fact that I do love it, and we've just listened to the title track called Art of Doubt, and I was thinking about the relation between art and doubt a lot since I've found out that you guys are gonna come for an interview, and I think it's really interesting because doubt can kind of like be a motor for art. You know, you doubt about something and you'll be like, oh, I have to put these mixed feelings into a song, maybe. And doubt can totally destroy your creative juices as well. What is that? Is it a thought that's packed into this song or onto the record as well?
Yeah, I mean, I think the phrase, as you've said, it allows for a lot of conversation. There's a lot of ways for it to be read. I wouldn't ever direct anyone to one definitive version. But to me, a lot of it is just, you know, thinking about the band that I'm in and what has driven us to stay together all these years and make 7 albums and, you know, continue to be so engaged. You know, we walk off stage last night in Hamburg and it's right off the stage into like an hour and a half meeting about improvements to songs and set list and order and visions and reinstrumentation. You know, and we could have done another hour of that, and we'll do that as soon as we leave here. We'll go back in. So what drives that is not a desire to like present a facade of confidence or, God forbid, like arrogance or even like knowledge. It's the opposite. It's going always toward the thing that is most frightening, the thing that is unknown.
Yeah.
It's like scientific method, you know? Like,
and it's a refreshing thing in times like these where everybody's profile pic is photoshopped to death. Yeah.
Well, this is it, right? Yeah. And I suppose this is where some people will be like us and some people will not. But like, I'm attracted to and interested in people who reveal the truth about themselves or flaws, I think, are where all the good stuff is, all the good information. trying, you know, even on a social level, being around people who refuse to present anything but, as you say, like a photoshopped exterior, is just so boring.
Yeah.
So, and that is something I hope Metric will never be, you know, like we might hurt you by leaving guitars off or like, you know, experiments in ways.
That evil band.
How could you
they
do that?
Hurt me again.
Yeah. But we, one thing I, please, we will never be, I hope, is boring.
I was really thinking about that a lot. And I thought like having the right amount of doubt in your life can be like, it can be like a recipe for a better life. Just not enough doubt can be bad because then you're just a naive person who just walks through life like as if you were stoned all the time. And then the other extreme isn't good as well. If you doubt too much, you're getting depressed or something, right?
It seems like the art of it is being able to balance the doubt, not falling forward or backwards into it, being able to live in it, exist in it.
Mm. Yeah, well put. That's the art part.
Yeah.
The art part explained by Joshua on Flux FM. Now, we've talked about the art of doubt. Now I want to talk to you about the art of financing a band, because there's another thing that I just found out today. You said in an interview that, I mean, the band has been around for 20 years now, and I always thought the first 10, they must have been great because it was the 90s still, and the bands made money via selling records. And then you said that the first 10 years were actually horrible financially, and that the band is in the black only for 10 years or something. I found that really interesting because I really thought it was the other way around.
Yeah, no, Jimmy and I embarked on this crazy dream in 1998 when we moved to New York and then went to England. And, you know, we're on track to have that conventional life of you do a publishing deal and you do a record deal. And it, as you say, it was the era of big record deals still. But our timing was just perfectly when it all fell apart.
Nice.
So, Food Records, which was the label that put out Blur, they wanted to sign us. We loved them. We got to go hang out with like the band, and it was just the dream. It was what it should be. And then when Andy Ross went to his parent company to say, you know, I want to sign Metric, they said, not only are you not signing these kids, you also have just lost all your funding.
Aww.
And that went on to become the sort of environment that Jimmy and I were up against at every stage of the band, to the point that we were like, it was just the two of us, that we went back to New York and said, we got to just be a live band. This is ridiculous. You know, in London, they told us, don't even play. Like, the buzz is too big. Don't even play a show. It was just like, and that's the era of, you know, rock star A&R guys.
And it's so cool that you found your way out of this world. Because
and found Josh and Jules, which is the point that I was trying to come to, right? Is that like, that was the true empowerment. Mm. And then the four of us just fought for it. Yeah. And I do think people don't realize, you know, especially before you could promote anything with social media or anything, it's just, we look back and go like, I don't know how it happened, but you put up a poster and it was 10 people and then it was 50 and then it has grown from there.
Congratulations on getting through that. Because,
thank you.
I mean, you have to have patience and strength to just get through a super long phase of 10 years. And maybe the result or the prize that you get for it in the end is that it works after 10 years.
The prize is that you get the job and then you just have to get to work.
Yeah, that's true. One last question for you, Emily. I realize that right now I'm not interested in the feelings of the average white middle class as man anymore. When I listen to music, I want to listen to black voices, women of color, or the voices of women more, because I think in times like these, that's the more interesting perspective, you know? I'm a white middle class man myself, and I have feelings on my own. I don't have to listen to the feelings. But, you know, do you feel that there's a shift of people, or are people more interested, do you feel, in the songs or in the stories of women nowadays? Do you feel something like that, or is it just me that kind of like has a shift in his perspective on music?
I think that if that is happening on a grand scale, that would be great, and as we've discussed, just more interesting. You know, without it even needing to be a political or social commentary, just maybe it's more interesting to hear from different people. But I'm a really bad person to ask about any sort of bigger trends like that, because I mean, it's in my lyrics of I change by staying the same. I mean, I've been very nose to the grindstone for my entire life. And I've been like this since I was a young woman and, you know, in an industry that is male dominated. But the men that I've worked with have been incredible. And I've just always felt like I'm forging my own way.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like I have such a weird, anomalous life that I'm not very good at answering those big questions. But all I can say is if something's good for God's sake, let's listen to it and open our minds to maybe sounds and stories that are not the ones we've heard before.
So I have to skip the questions. What's the meaning of life?
Yeah, we got that.
Does God exist? I had so many questions for you.
I've been wondering for so long, and now we've solved it all on Flux FM.
I think we really did solve most of the things that I wanted to ask you. So
crisis averted. Let's do this.
Thank you.
Time for rock and roll.
Yeah. Thank you for visiting. It was a great pleasure to be talking to you. And I'm going to give away some tickets for tonight's show now, real quick. Wer ran möchte an die Eintrittskarten für Metric heute Abend im Kesselhaus, der kann mich jetzt anrufen unter der 030-2000-9000. Berlin 2000-9000, das ist die Nummer zum Glück. Ruft jetzt an. Wir haben die letzten Tickets für Metric im Kesselhaus und ihr könnt ihr hier gewinnen. Joshua, Emily, it was great to be talking to you. As I said, I hope we'll meet again soon. You know where we live right now. Just come and visit us.
Thank you for having us. Okay. Our pleasure.
See you. Bye-bye.